Well, I desire your prayers this morning. Pray that the Lord would help us and be beneficial to our souls. I'm thinking about the battle that you and I have. We label them a lot of different ways, the different battles. We'll have physical battles. So I'm getting older. I'm noticing that my body's not working the same as it used to work, and causes some battles sometimes. But I'd be willing to say that if we just got right down to it, that we would have to realize that most of the struggles and the battles and the things that we face in life are right here. It's right here in our minds. Oh, someone may say something about you, but the battle that you fight about that is right here.
That's right.
There is people that don't care. You know what I'm saying? There's people that don't care. I knew a guy one time that he just simply didn't care about much. He knew he needed a job, so he'd go get him a job, and it seemed like he could really get a job. He'd go, and it seemed like people would hire him. He had an easygoing personality. He'd get a job, and he didn't care whether he kept it or not. One day he decided he didn't want to go to work, but he hated to just lie. So he let the air out of his tar so that he could say he had a flat tire.
Oh, no.
Well, now that's a lie anyway. But you know what I'm saying? He didn't want to speak a lie. But because he just didn't care. And there's people that just don't care. But we generally ain't that kind of people. We care. We care about things. There was a lot of days I didn't go to work, but I never let the air out of my tire to keep from going. It was because I care enough, even though I feel a certain way, that I push through it. If someone comes up and says something to me that's in the negative, I generally care about it. A lot of times I'd like not to care about it. I know people that didn't care if their bills was late. They didn't care if they paid them at all. And I used to look at that and say, boy, that must be nice, because I'm always thinking about it. I'm always saying, if I owe something, I want to pay it. It'd be nice, in a sense, I guess, to be able to say, I don't care. One guy even said after his electric bill was about 3 or 4 months late, he said, I don't know why they get so excited over that. I guess I can figure out for you why they get excited about that. But he didn't care. It didn't make no difference to him that he had a bill was late and he was going fishing. I'm going fishing. And I'm not going to worry about whether they turn the electric off or not. And I always kind of did, I guess, worry about those kind of things. I think if I owe something, I want to do it. My point is that it goes on here. And for people that do care about things and one another and that kind of things, we have a particular interest in, because we fight battles. Our battles in our minds.
That's true.
Back during, at the beginning of World War II, it was quite a history that led up to World War II. Actually, a lot of people consider the history of World War II being back before the First World War, because the things that caused the Second World War were in place. But anyway, there come a time that a certain power arose in Europe, and Hitler mainly, and Hitler had a mindset, the desire for, and the people in Germany that run the industry in Germany, the business people, the money people, they needed something to happen to Germany. Germany was down and out. And they needed somebody to be able to rally it back up, and they found their man. He was financially supported because he had charisma. He was able to do it and get people involved, and there was a great nationalism involved, and he got them gone and all that. And he had a mind. He had a desire. He had a will. Something he wanted to do. He had a mind to increase the German influence around the world. He was going to conquer people. He was going to subdue. And he had it in mind. So much so that he wrote a book. In English, the book would be My Struggle. It's Mein Kampf. It was My Struggle. And in his book, he outlined basically what he had in desire to do. And he mentioned things like that there would be a war that would annihilate the Jews in Europe. And he said things in his book like for living space that you'd have to look to Russia. And all these different things that he said. And he wrote a book, and the book was published, and the book was read with this man's intention in it. The man comes to power, and people was like, okay. There was a few people that stopped and said, "Now wait a minute. You better be careful with this man. Because it would be much easier to deal with him in his weakness than in his strength."
That's right.
And that's what I want to get across to us today in our battles. It's much better to deal with anything in its beginnings, in its weakness, than to have to deal with it in its power and in its strength. We do deal with things. We deal with, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What position should I hold? What kind of a attitude should I hold about certain things and all those kind of things? I want to tell you, the devil knows us today. And the devil knows that he can't come in overwhelming against us. He knows, though, that he can come in in small things. He can come in with a certain disposition of mind, of thought, and deal with us that way. But then it isn't his mind to leave it there. It's his mind to get it increased and increased and increased. I had an aunt at the end of her life. She smoked for a good portion of her life. Heavy smoke. At the end of her life, her health was so bad that they put her on oxygen. She had oxygen like this and a cigarette like this. Now, you and I would think that's ridiculous. If it got down to something was going to kill you, you would give it up, wouldn't you? Now, wouldn't you give it up? Someone told me one time, said, I remember the conversation we had, they said, well, actually, I'll tell you, it was Brother Tony, and it was Chad when he was a little boy, and I was at his house, and they said something about eating or something, and he said, I love pizza. I love pizza. Brother Tony said, I think that's a little strong for pizza. To say, I love pizza. No, he said, it's not either. I love pizza. And that really stirred a thought in me about loving pizza. You love pizza? I like pizza. I'm going to tell you how I know I don't love it. When it keeps me up all night, I don't love it. When I start getting sick by eating it, I don't love it. I'm more than willing to give up pizza when I feel the way I feel some. When I get that feeling, no, I'm done with it. I don't love you anymore. Okay? But what happens with the sick? I'm going to tell you. You think my aunt, after two puffs, when she first started, two puffs, two times, you think she could have quit if she had been needing oxygen? She'd have quit! She'd have said, no way! No way! You know the devil knows that. The devil knows that. So he's going to deal with you and I that way. And he's going to bring things to us that if you aren't careful, I'm going to tell you, if you aren't careful, they're going to get claws in you. And instead of, as Winston Churchill said, you better deal with Hitler in his weakness, or you most definitely will deal with him in his power. But no one would listen to that. No, we want a certain way. We don't want the struggle. We don't want the fight. We fought World War I. We don't want to fight World War II. We don't want to have to give our young men to this. We don't want to make the sacrifice. We don't want to have to do all this again. No, we're not going to do it. You know, we can be like that sometimes. No, I don't want to have to battle this thing out. No, I don't want to have to get into the conflict with it. No, I don't want to have to conflict my children. No, I don't want to have to conflict the people around. No, I don't want to have to look like I'm different or weird. I don't want to have to deal with this thing. I don't want to deal with it. But I want to tell you, of every issue, you'll deal with it in its weakness, or you'll deal with it in its power. When we allow things in our lives, they can become a real power in our lives. I want to look at a scripture that I feel like brings this out. It's in Isaiah, 5th chapter of Isaiah. And in the 18th verse, I want to warn us today, whatever position in life you're in, I want to warn you about the little things today. Because we all know murder's wrong. We all know adultery's wrong. If there was any idol set up in idol worship, we'd all know it was wrong. We would all know that going down and getting slobbery drunk at the bar would be wrong. We all know that. We all know doing bad drugs and that kind of stuff. We all know that's wrong. But do you know all of those things are started with a little thing? Yes. My uncle says to my grandmother one time, "Mom, you can't tell me that there's anything wrong with drinking one beer." My grandmother said, "Maybe not, but I never knew anybody to drink two before they drank one." I thought about that. Could you imagine? No, you don't start out that way. You start out with one, and she knew that one leads to two. Do you know alcoholics starts with a swallow? One drink starts it all.
Yes.
So in Isaiah here, in 18th verse, the 5th chapter, it says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." Now the idea of a cart rope, folks, is a... You ever see, I don't say that I've seen it, that I've ever seen it. If I do, I don't remember. Maybe I have seen it, actually seen it, or I've just seen it in pictures. But you ever see these big ships with the big ropes that they have? I'm not talking about a rope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm talking about these man-sized ropes. They're like this. You know what they're made up of? Fibers. Strands. I could pop any one of those strands between my teeth right here. Nothing to it. I can quit. I can break it. I can control it and do anything I want to with it. I could eat it if I wanted it. I think it's just grass. I mean, there's nothing much to it. The idea here in this scripture, folks, is that don't pull sin with a cart rope. You know what makes a cart rope? A thread at a time.
Yes.
That's what this warning's about. When you go down the road of it, when you start it, when you embrace it, those things. The truth of it is that what I'm really talking about today, I can't point out to you, well, okay, you need this, and this is yours, and this is yours, and this. I don't know that about you, but there's things in every one of our lives that starts that out. I don't know, I'm not smart enough, and we're not smart enough as a group or collectively, or you can get us, all of us together at one time and be smart enough to know every place that we get to by what we do. You don't know. You don't know what this is going to lead in. We know that righteousness leads into good things. We know doing right is good. We know that it will bring blessings. We know that, if we plant good things, we'll reap good things. We know the process, but we don't know all the depths of the endings of it. Sin will take you further than you want to go. What people fail to realize is that they think that they're so in control of their minds that they can do anything they want, but you're not. You are not in control of yourself the way you think you are, to the point that you think, well, there's people that say, I want to be saved. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe Jesus come, and I'm going to be saved before I die. And I'd like to challenge everybody that ever says that. Really? So you feel a certain way. Yes, I feel a certain way. And you'll feel that way tomorrow? Are you sure you'll feel that way tomorrow? I know people, and myself including, that can feel one way today and one way tomorrow. You know, I can feel like, boy, I really want to do something. And tomorrow, I'm going to do it because I really feel like doing it. You ever have that? Gun-ho! I had a buddy. Now, he was a little bit more, he was moody. And I remember a number of times he would come up to my house on a Friday and say, hey, let's go rabbit hunting in the morning. And I'd say, Mom, yeah, I'll probably do it with you. Yeah. Oh, I said, yeah, come on and go. And he said, got these dogs? Boy, they're running good. They're running good. And he said, we'll go here. And if we don't get any there, we can go to here. And we saw a bunch back here. We're here. And this is a good rabbit patch. And boy, he would be going. And I said, well, you think we'll get some? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, these dogs are running good. We'll have a time. You want to go? Well, yeah, after all that, sure. Let's go. Meet him the next morning. Tell you what, you ready? you ready?
I guess.
Well, you think we'll get some rabbits?
I doubt it.
Well, wait a minute. Well, you feel like you want to be saved? Well, yeah, everybody wants to be saved, right? You don't know you're going to have that mind. You don't know what's going to rob that mind from you. You don't know what's going to steal that from you. I want to tell you, you better deal with it when it's little, or you'll have a hard, hard time dealing with it when it's strong. I want to warn anybody in here that smokes. You better deal with it. As the years roll by, it's going to get more and more and more on you. To the fact that my aunt was dying, and they told her, you're going to die if you don't, and she couldn't quit anyway. She died that way. Because the old was so dramatic, she couldn't deal with it in its weakness anymore. In her own power, in her own ability, I'll say this as an aside today. I thank God for deliverance. Because there is a deliverance in Jesus that's beyond this rope that we're talking about. It takes the Lord when this cord... There's a human element at one point that says, I'm going to choose not to do this. I want to say to everybody, we ought to choose not to do it. As much as you can stay out of sin, even if you're not living for the Lord, as much as you can stay out of sinful things, the better off you'll be. Yes. And there's people that have got their cords, their cart ropes, so big, massive, that there's nothing anymore they can do. But I'm going to tell you, there is still one that can break the cord. I remember the testimony of Brother Samuels, my pastor for years. I loved the testimony. And I remember the testimony that he had of going to that altar and getting that ponderous cord broken. You know, he said that he was a smoker. And he wondered about giving that up and all. And he said the Lord just delivered him from that till he didn't want it no more when he got saved. God broke that. Isn't it a wonderful story?
Yes, it is.
But this rope we're talking about that gets bigger and bigger. I wish that there was some way to illustrate to the young people. All across the land, our young people. I'd like to illustrate to the young people all around us. that every disobedience is like a spider's web. Now, I can break a spider's web. Every little, well, they used to call them little white lies. I don't know where that ever come from, but it's just like every little disobedience, every little deception, it's like a spider web or a piece of grass, piece of hemp, or whatever it is. And it's weaving in, and it gets a little stronger. It gets a little stronger. You're pulling a big cart now, loaded down with weights. And you need something strong enough to pull it with, and what it's being pulled with is this gigantic cord that pulls along all the weights of sin, the burdens of it, all entwined in that. Folks, I want to recommend to every one of you, have that broke before it gets to be like this. Break the power of that thing. Don't ever start it. Get rid of it. Serve the Lord in the days of your youth before the evil days come. I want to tell you, pile up years of this. And it's like a cord. How many people that I've dealt with in my life get down to the end of their life and you look at it sometimes and say, why don't they want to be saved? Do you know, to our minds, we don't understand that. Why would somebody get up into their 80s and be down and you know that their years are so few? Their days are so few. You would think they ought to be running to the Lord. Why not? They have nothing left. You got an answer for me? Why not? Because the cord's too big. It's not as easy as what we think because we live for the Lord and pray and talk to the Lord and it's real easy because there's no cord. But there's a ponderous cord before these people. And they can't just break it loose. They got habits in their minds. In their minds have built up great big things. The battle of our minds, folks, starts in a little thing. I want to say today, when you feel the prick as saints and you feel the prick of your mind, deal with it. Don't allow any corruption to build up there. Don't allow it to be a big thing. Deal with it. You feel bitterness towards anything? I want to tell you, take care of it. Right here is the battle. You know what we can be guilty of? I'm guilty of it myself. It's not like it's an idea of sin, but you know we got an enemy. You know what our enemy will do? He'll come in and make a suggestion. Devil ever make a suggestion to you? He makes a suggestion. Supposing he comes and just says to me, over some conversation or something, just comes to me and says, Brother Clint disrespects you. Whippersnapper. What's he disrespecting me? Now that comes from my own mind. In my own mind, a devil wants to insert something here. He don't respect you. Well, he don't, huh? Well, you know, it's easy enough right there. It's just a suggestion. It's easy enough to say, I've got a great relationship with Brother Clint. Devil, you're lying. Get out of here. Deal with something like that. Besides, who am I to be respected anyway, devil? I ain't nothing but for the Lord anyway, so go lie somewhere else. You know, you can deal with that and go on. Yes. But I'm going to tell you what can happen. And we all know this. This is a thread. It's a thread, folks. It means little, very little. It can be broken. It can be chewed up. It can be thrown away. But another thought's about to entwine itself on it. Yes. You know that last message he preached? When he said that certain thing, he looked right at me. I think there might be some validity to that. Then, all of a sudden, there's another thought. Well, you know, he's kind of... And another one wraps in. I'm going to tell you, that's given room to build thought, to build something that's going to be strong. And after a while, do you know that you can be convinced of something that isn't anywhere even close to the truth?
Yeah, that's right. So,
Remember at home one time? Brother Tony was preaching and he says, I think it sometimes, he was talking to the brethren and he said, we need you brothers that work jobs, we need your input. Because I think you can kind of get delusional when you don't work a regular job. And I thought, I'm the only guy here that don't work a regular job. Well, now, by deduction, that means I'm delusional. I mean, I'm not seeing things right. Right? I mean, practical thinking here. You know, for a little while, I'm going to tell you, for a little while, my mind began to go with thoughts. Well, you know, this adds in, and this adds in. And before long, there's a case being made. And I completely forgot that the point was that we needed the brother's input. That's what the point was. When I finally come full circle, I said, we need the brother's input. And it was a truth that was being said. And there was a little thread of a detail there that the devil was going to wind into a great big cord between me and my brother. We battle right here, folks. And right here is where the devil is going to come in and take advantage of each and every one of us in some way or another. You can be. There is a lot of things out there in the world, folks. That right here is where you start dealing with that. I would say we have a very good standard against the things that we watch and say. The saints do, I'm saying, and have. I've always appreciated that. It's a good one to keep. Because when you open up the door of that, my question is, where does it end? Where are you going to say, and I can't answer it for you, but what I do know is that a thread will become a rope, and a rope will become a cart rope. If you allow and entertain that, and almost all of our minds works in the way of saying, how do I justify this? Right? Now, if I'm going to live and be right and do right, then what I'm doing has to be right and right. I mean, what I'm doing has got to be right or I'm wrong. And every man's way is right in his own eyes because he justifies it to be right in his own eyes. I don't do wrong, so therefore what I'm doing is right. Very, very few people are honest enough to say, yeah, I'm doing some things wrong, and I need to get it right. But it's wrong. That's the best way to deal with it. But it's not the way most people do deal with it. They deal with it in a way of making a justification for it. So then, how far do you have to go before you realize and say, this is wrong? How much swearing in a film do you have to see before you say it's wrong? How much nudity would have to be there? How much would you have to give yourself to before you would not justify the idea that it's just an entertainment piece? Well, I'm not affected by it. Can you say that? I say you'd be a fool to say it, that I'm not affected by it. You are affected by it. Either by a thread, by a rope, or by something, you're affected by it. You'll add one to another, one to another, till you'll desensitize yourself, till you won't know the Spirit of the Lord. One way or the other, it affects every one of our lives. And our battles, folks, are right here. It's right here in our mind about it. Lord, help us to realize I need to protect my mind. I need to battle this in this weakness, because if I don't battle in this weakness, I most surely will battle it in this strength. I'll have to deal with this. And I'm using that analogy, but we all probably, most of us know the history of World War II. When after Hitler's aggression started, it was a planned aggression. He started getting the dramatic people. He went into Austria without a fight. Austria didn't fight him. They were Germanic people. So he simply incorporated them into the larger Germany. And then he says of Czechoslovakia, oh, wait a minute, the Sudetenland is occupied by Germanic people, Germans. That's our land. We want that land. Well, Czechoslovakia was going to fight, But the ones that had the leagues with them went over there and made an agreement and gave them the Sudetenland. And in the Sudetenland was the Skoda Works, one of the biggest munitions plants in the world. By design, he's growing stronger. He hasn't fired a shot yet. You deal with it in the weakness, or you deal with it in its strength. And it's going to get stronger and stronger, and it's going to have more munitions against you, and it's going to have more power against you, and it's going to get stronger and stronger. And a lot of times it's not even real. It's a battle.
That's right.
In our minds. Lord, help us. Over in... let's see. Do I have this scripture? Well, it's 2 Samuel, I think. 11th chapter. And it came to pass, the first verse, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, and him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. What a telling scripture. Do you suppose that a man like David... I'm going to ask this question. Is it possible in your mind that somebody like David could have kind of got burnt out? Can somebody like David get burnt out? I mean, it doesn't use the word here, but it's time that the kings are at war. This is said for a reason. There's a specific reason here for the way the scripture is written, and there's a time that David should be doing something. And he wasn't doing it. So I have to conclude that David was in a battle. And he wasn't running from Saul anymore. You know, sometimes those battles are better battles than these battles. Well, that was a battle here too, but of what to do and how to do it. But you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we look at it right here. Sometimes boredom's worse than hard battles. Sometimes, what's going on, David? David, come on, what's going on with you? I'd like to have been able to ask David, what was going on with you? I want to know. I'd like to know what... I've had feelings and I've had battles and things happen to me before. I'd like to know where your mind was at right here. I'd like to know what you was doing in your mind. I think you'd find out that he was saying, "Oh, brother, I don't know. I don't know. I slew my giants. I beat the Philistines. I've had some wonderful victories. God's blessed in a lot of things and ways, but I think I just got cold." You ever get cold? You ever feel the year? Sure. I think everybody that's lived for the Lord any time has battled that battle of, "Lord, I don't even know where I'm at already anymore. What am I supposed to be doing? Or is there anything else here?" Or whatever it is. But there was a battle. I think David was in a battle in his mind. Because he wasn't... You know, we'd like to think, "Oh, David's obeying the Lord and it's time to go up there and conquer these things." And he's right there. David's right there in the forefront doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Making sure, praying. The Lord, sword of the Gideon and the Lord. "Well, we're sword of the Lord and Gideon. We're ready to go. Let's go get them." But it didn't sound like it. And it came as fast as the evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. My question to you is, when does it stop? Where does it stop at? You got to break it somewhere, folks. Now, you can let it get to be a cart rope. You want to read a story of a cart rope? This got to be a cart rope. It started out We like this. Some like to say he looked. But I want to go deeper than he looked. Because something was going on, David, before he looked. You understand what I'm saying? Something happened to David before he looked. He had something that wasn't right. He wasn't inspired. He wasn't seeking God. He wasn't doing what he should be doing. Or maybe this temptation would have blew over. Maybe they would have been able to say, oh, somebody's down there. Well, he paid attention to it. Got the Lord on my mind. I got a song. I'm writing a psalm. Got it on my heart and mind. I got to get this finished. I want to present this to the people this week. I'm going to do this. No. Something that was very small, I think. Something that was seemed insignificant in people's lives. If we don't take care of those things in our lives, folks, we're going to lose it. Because that'll make something bigger and bigger and bigger. I remember Brother Jim telling the story of being out and where he taught it was like on this mountainside and this rock ledge and there was these little fox pups come out. This little pup, they were so cute and wrestling around there. And the old farmer pulls up and boom, he blasts them. These cute little foxes. Why did you do that? He said, because they grow up. He raised chickens. Why did I do that? But it's cute and fuzzy. I remember when I was growing up, there was this guy and this girl. They had this child young. It was in high school and they had this child. And of course, I know they didn't know anything and it wasn't very. They was ignorant about right and wrong and those kind of things. They took that little boy and had him doing some of the awfulest thing. He was so cute. He'd tell you, they'd say this to him, and he'd cuss you out. That he was just talking. Oh, people sat and laughed. That was so cute. I followed his life just when I could hear about him and see in the paper. By the time that boy got up to be teenagers, he was in trouble all the time. He ended up in prison. He ended up as a thief. And he ended up in prison. You know what's a problem with that, folks? Children grow up. A little boy is going to be a man one day. Full man. Little foxes will be big foxes. Little sins are going to be big ones. Things grow to maturity. They can't help from doing it. David was in a bad place and he didn't correct it. And here comes what the devil will do to every one of us. What is your besetting sin? Don't answer it. But you have something that's besetting. You have something that's a weakness to you. I'm going to tell you, get away from the Lord. Get off track with the Lord and the devil's going to bring that to you full force. You're going to have to deal with it, the thing in your mind when it's small, or you're going to deal with it when it's big. The more we imbibe those things, the more we take in on that thing. If you have a weakness for music, stay away from bad music. Because it's going to entwine you. And you may not turn the player on. But you can't keep it from playing. Listen, things will play from 40 years ago with me. Still to this day, it still will play in there. And it'll play for you too. So, he says in the third verse, and David sent. You see the pattern? See the pattern? David's in a bad way with the Lord, obviously. David is not where he should be. And then, there's another thread added. He is in the position. I've never thought that it was proper, and I don't know exactly about the history or the culture at the time, but I don't think it was probably proper for David to be on his bed in the evening time. I'm going to have to wonder about a man that's doing that. You not got something better to do? It's daytime, David. I mean, you're laying in bed? He got up off his bed in the evening time, and that's another thread. If you would busy yourself, it'll help you. Do something. It'll help you. Then he's in the place of temptation, and now there it is, and here's another thread to it. It's getting stronger. Now he says, what was his full intention? Was his full intention to be what he ended up being? Obviously not. But he said, go inquire after her. Another thread. Are you ever curious? I think I'll just listen to this. I'm just curious. What does that say? Well, somebody said that was a great movie they had out. I think I'll go. See, I'm curious. I want to know what it did. I've known people that use that for an excuse, justify themselves. Well, I was curious. Another thread. Added to it. Here goes the thread. Here's the story. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? That should have been enough. You understand? I guess in that day and time, if she would have been a young maiden or something, I guess the king could have said, I would like to have another wife, bring her up, whatever. But he said, is this not the wife of Uriah? Oh, that should have been. But you know, it had already got to be a rope making now. It was not that easy. I'm in boredom. Things are not going well for me. Here's something to get me out of there. Folks, I've done that before. I want to tell you, I've been in places before in my life. It's a battle right here. Till I've been, what do I do? And I go and say, oh, well, I'll listen to Monarch singing. No, that ain't it. I'll go read. Well, no, that ain't it. I'll read this book. No, that ain't working either. I'll go turn the radio on. No, Rush Limbaugh won't do it. No, I'll do that over to this. Give me something to do. You ever been like that? Nothing's sad. It's working. It's bad. The snow's too big outside. I'm pacing around. What's going on? I need something. David's already got it going now. Oh, something ain't working. I didn't go because it bored me. And I'm bad. I'm tired of battle, war. Got doing that stuff. I'll just send Joab. Joab, take care of it for me. I'm tired. I'm going to stay here. I think I'll go to bed. Well, why'd he jump out of bed for? Well, I've got to have something to do. Who's up? Everything's interesting. Folks, that's what temptation is. It's a battle of our minds.
Yeah,
right between my fingers, right here. It's where it all transpires, right here. Lord, help us. Lord, give me grace.
Yes.
My daily prayer is, Lord, give me grace to face the day with. I don't know what it is. Help me to have grace to take care of every issue of my life. I've not always been successful doing it, but Lord, help me to have grace to take care of every issue as it arises so that I won't build a rope, that I won't build something that's big, something that I can't take care of. Lord, help me to keep these things in their proper place. Lord, help my mind. Help me to battle. Help me to win the battles of my mind. Help me to have pure thoughts, right thoughts. Help me to think in the right way. I told this to Sister Katrina. Of course, my wife knows. I told her the other day, I need help. I just complain too much. You know, I do. Lord, help me. It seems like so many things I can just look at the negative on it. Well, that ain't working right. Well, why does that do that? I can do about everything I do. My mind immediately focuses on why ain't it working this way instead of what's working right about it. And then it comes out in words. Well, that ain't right. This is a complaint about this. I'd have to label myself a complainer. I want to be a complainer. You know why? The Lord's given me a wonderful life. I have so many wonderful things from the Lord. I don't want to be a complainer because, you know, ultimately, if you're complaining about circumstances, you're not complaining at me because I don't rule no circumstances. There is one that rules the circumstances and he takes total credit for doing it. And if you complain, you're complaining about God. So, Lord, help us not to. David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him, and he lay with her, and she was, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned to her house. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole reading, but I want you to understand something here. This rope started getting thicker. And the events of the rope started making it become thicker and bigger and bigger, and we know what the end of it was. David, the one that had been so faithful to God, to have faith, to take on the giants, and to be a hero of Israel and do what he does, you know what he ended up being? An adulterer, a murderer, and a liar. He had one of the biggest black marks on him of anybody in the Scriptures. Awful man to do what he done. Did Uriah have a mother? A brother? A cousin? Well, nobody's mentioned, but did he have family? You think they liked David over this? You think that this would have been a good thing? He hurt more than that. He hurt people. This was an awful thing to do that he got to. But it started way back in an indifferent attitude. A battle of the mind. Lord help you and I that we take care of that. And if you'll remember, the prophet Nathan came, and he came and gave him a little story. Do you think David was so far gone that he didn't know what right and wrong was? When Nathan presented his story in parable, David recognized right off that it was a wrong. That was wrong. That man needed to be stoned to death and restored to this man. Well, he'd done a terrible thing. He was actually, it says that his wrath was kindled. He was angered over a man that would do another man that way. And then the prophet says, "Thou art the man." Oh, folks, how hard it is to see our own lives once they get to that kind of a place. Look at another scripture with me. Oh, let's see. I think I'm wanting James. James. I'll start with the 13th verse. No, 12th verse. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised him, them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." It's a process. Do you see the process? A man is tempted, or temptation. We all know that temptation belongs to all of us. We'll all be tempted to some degree or another. What this is talking about is the yielding of temptation is because of our own lust. And it's because what we've given ourselves to is why we're giving in to the temptation is real. Giving in to the temptation, we don't have to do as Christians. God's got victory over that. So why do people fail? Has there been any failures of people that live for God? Among the saints over the years, has there been any failures? We can mark them down, can't we? What happened? Would you say some of them had the ability to bring forth a good Holy Ghost message? Well, absolutely. What happened? A thread happened. Just a cord. A little thing happened that wasn't taken care of in its infancy, when it was just a thought. A thought. When it was just a... But under the conditions it brought forth. And it was yielded to, and it was made stronger and stronger, to the point that it becomes too big for the individual. We can say, well, I think I'll just quit. There's few people that have the fortitude to just quit smoking after they smoked for so many years. Some have, some can't. But it can be a cord that can't be broken, except for by divine power. But why make it? Lord, help you and I. Do we realize that our minds are not... You may not think the way you think now. I look at people that don't get saved when they and I think that's ridiculous. But then I have to realize I'm not thinking the way they're thinking. My mind is not their mind. My mind is a mind that appreciates the Lord and loves the idea of salvation. Theirs is not. They've allowed their mind to go far beyond the idea that I'm going to be saved before I die, to the point that it don't matter. It don't matter anymore. I knew somebody who was up in years and had made the comment, I've lived all my life this way, meaning in sin and the way I've lived. But you have the opportunity to be saved. Even at your age, you can be saved and the Lord can forgive you and you can go to heaven. But the idea was, is why? I've lived all my life this way. And you would think, surely there'd be some way to change a mind, a heart like that. And there wasn't. They left this world in sin, with an opportunity to be saved. And they left this world because... See, you do have to be drawn by the Lord. But you know there's limitations even on that? Oh, the Lord can draw you. But you know it takes faith in God to be saved? And people can get it till they can't have faith in God. Now, it is God's fault. Salvation would work for them if they could have faith. But they can't have faith in the salvation that was brought to them because the cord's too big for their lives and they can't see above it. I pulled this old wagon too long. I got too much in it. And I can't let it go. You know, if they could have faith in the Lord to break that, he'd break it. It's not the Lord. But it's our own lives that we've built up. Lord, help us. Another scripture I want to look at quickly is in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. It would be wise for every one of us, regardless of our years or status, to consider what I'm saying today. There has been men that was much more gifted, way better speakers, much more spiritual and much more understanding than I've got or will ever have that's failed. So you better consider. He that thinketh he stand, well, you'd have to think he stand. It's talking about people that are there. I've had the Lord heal instantly at my prayers. I've had the Lord bless at my prayers. I've had the Lord come and I think I can pray. I think I'm done. Now, if you think he stand, take heed. Always remember you're desperate. Always remember the need that you have. Always remember that. Here in 2 Corinthians 10, it says in the third verse, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in warring in the flesh, but it's not our battle. The battle that we really fight is here. And it's a spiritual battle, and it's a battle of our minds. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds? Cart ropes? Things that can't be done otherwise? If you're here today and you've made a chain or a rope in your life of things and you look and say, you know, I would like to be saved, but if I get saved, I'll have to give up. You fill it in. Or if I get saved, I'm going to have to change this or doing that. The devil's going to make a mountain out of that. I'm going to tell you. The Lord can make that smooth silk. He can make that transition just as smooth. He says to the tearing down or to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes. That's an allusion to forts and barriers and bulwarks and those kind of things that they fought against. But those are the things, the walls and the barriers and the things that people created in their lives that keep them from being what the Lord would have them to be. He says, casting down imaginations. Oh, Lord, help us. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations. You got an imagination? I've got one child and she's got quite an imagination. Imaginations. You got imagination? This says, casting down imaginations. Now, Brother Clint, you don't disrespect me, do you? Imaginations. Thoughts, imaginations, things that's not... The devil brings those kind of thoughts and things. Casting down imaginations.
Yes.
And every high thing.
Yes.
Because there is high things that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. High things. Things that challenges our thinking. It challenges our thinking and our way of life. It challenges us. I'm going to restate it. Deal with it in its weakness so that you don't have to deal with it in its strength. There is people that get themselves legions of problems. Legions of spirits. Legions of difficulty. Legions of things that accumulate and make hard places in life. Deal with life, folks, when it's small. Deal with hurts. You ever been hurt? You probably been hurt. Deal with hurts when they're little. Don't let the devil have time. That's why the Scripture says, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give it time to fester. Don't give it time to be a big thing. You know, you're way better off to take care of a scratch than let it get infected. You're a lot better off to take things in before it gets serious and be like, Lord, help us today to take care of our spiritual life before we shipwreck. If you feel like you're drifting, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot easier to get that paddle out and paddle back into the stream before you've drifted off. Once you've done that, it's hard to think your way back. I went so far and I've done so many things. It's hard to ever see back. Lord, help us to deal with it when it's small so that we don't have to deal with it when it's big, because it'll become a monster to us. You pray for me.